Hey there, welcome to the Creative Classroom Podcast. I'm your host, John Spencer. I'm a former middle school teacher, current college professor, and I am passionate about seeing teachers transform their classrooms into bastions of creativity and wonder. So on this podcast, we explore the tools and strategies and stories. I share mistakes I've made along the way, all with this goal of how do we boost creativity in the classroom. And one of the topics I get into often is this idea of project-based learning. And so today I want to answer a question that I think we all deal with a lot, which is what happens when students don't finish projects? So I want to start with a story. About a decade ago, I had a group of students with this really cool concept. They would make a paper mural. It would be shaped like the U.S.-Mexico border, and it would have a big picture of the Statue of Liberty in the middle with a modern family from Mexico on the right and immigrants from Ellis Island and from the early 1900s on the left. And so the goal was, you know, it would look like a big border. And it was a cool concept. They cut tiny pieces of various colors from magazines and painstakingly glued these on before and after school. They created the whole border wall. It looked like a fence from paper mache. And although the wall itself wasn't long, it was just kind of one wall of our classroom, it was still this powerful symbolic work of art from their own lived experience. Most of them, most of these students were immigrants. And if they weren't, their parents were, and it was just an issue they cared about a lot. That impacted our community. And what they were saying was that the big barrier, the big border was not having papers. It was a paper barrier, a paper border. And regardless of what you think politically, it was a strong example of student voice and choice. But then we ran into a snag. When we decided to present our work, we wanted to share it at the First Friday's art deal with the art community, but I couldn't figure out how to make that launch happen. My students suggested that we send it to the district office, but again, the district office didn't have space for it, and they didn't really want that work of art in their space to begin with. In the end, it was a failed launch. I mean, it sat there in our classroom the entire time. Now, I had other projects that fizzled even worse, right? Yeah, in a matter of a couple of days. Like our fantasy football math project that didn't take hold. Or the career exploration documentary that we had to abandon within a week. Or the video game project that never actually got off at all. Sometimes it was timing. Other times it was my own incompetence. But whatever it was, I had those moments. And I'm guessing that you probably have those same moments as a teacher. Every time we choose to innovate, we are stepping into the unknown. And that means we are stepping into what could be an epic fail. But I've come to learn something. It turns out that abandoned projects are a part of all creative work. See, I'm a maker. I am often creating blog posts and books and sketch videos, but I also like doing hands-on STEM-style projects at our home. And being a maker, I often have projects that don't work out. I used to feel really guilty about these projects, right? Sort of like not finishing books. I felt guilty, like somehow I had failed. But I've come to realize that every maker has this. They have these projects that don't work out. I've interviewed painters and engineers and filmmakers and architects and entrepreneurs, just any maker that I know. And I've found that this is a pretty universal experience. To be productive, you have to be good at quitting. You need to know when a project isn't worth working on and cut it loose. You need to do what Kenny Rogers says, right? You need to know when to hold them and when to fold them and when to walk away and when to run. And yes, I just quoted Kenny Rogers. But you get the idea. I've come to realize that every maker has this cutting room floor with tons of work that didn't make the final cut. When we make, we iterate and we revise and we put things on hold, and that's okay. It's part of the creative journey. We have projects that never actually work, and we just have to cut it loose. Regardless of the industry or the discipline, there are a few ways we abandon projects. And you can think of this, conceptualize it kind of on a spectrum from unfinished to finished. So on the unfinished side, we have scrap it. This is the permanent delete option, where you realize the project was simply a bad idea and you scrap it. Moving closer to the finish side, you have shelve it. This is where you feel stuck, so you leave the project unfinished and then potentially pick it up months or even years later. Next, in the middle, you have iterate. This is where you don't shelve the project entirely, but instead you choose to make massive revisions and essentially abandon a big part of what you've already done with the goal of improving it and making it better. And then you have the non-launch. This is when you finish it, but you don't share it. You don't send it off to an audience at all. So even though it's done, what you've abandoned isn't the project so much as the sharing of it with an audience. Note that some of the most prolific creative types of all kinds of industries and projects have had tons of projects that are in all four of those categories. Now, I want to share with you, I'm going to be a little more personal here, some of my epic fails. In the last 2 years, I have had projects that totally tanked. I'm going to share them. Number one, Violet Bolt. This was a book my wife and I planned out. We spent forever working on it. It was about a girl who designs gadgets for superheroes and ultimately gets pulled into their world and has to use her creativity to save the day. Now, I wrote the first draft after we together had outlined it, and then I scrapped it. My wife and I talked through a new plot. I picked it up again and then completely rewrote it from scratch. And I just got stuck. We may someday come back to it, but right now, that book is on the shelf. It's going to stay there for a while. Number two, Fill in the Bubble. This was an animated short about a boy taking a test who gets frustrated because the bubbles won't stay on the paper. They keep moving back and forth on the paper, and he shakes it, and finally they fall down, rolling around, causing a ruckus in the classroom. Then they converge and become this bloppy orb that sort of moves up and gets bigger and bigger until it's a giant bubble that captures him, and he's stuck in it. And then he's pulled into the real world and the real city, and everything that was black and white is now color, and you get the idea. The problem that I ran into is I'm just not that good at animation yet. I've slowly experimented with it on these little sketch videos that I do, but I have a pretty far way to go before I can actually animate something by hand. So for now, I'm putting that project on hold. Number three, Taco Tony. Now, I wrote this short chapter book for my son, Micah. He really wanted me to write it. It is about a superhero, Bionic Taco, who lives a sheltered life, but then has to stop a giant robot from wrecking the city. I actually thought of illustrating it and releasing it, but decided it might be too weird, and I just wasn't sure about the book. So it ended up as a fun bedtime story, but I never really shared that. So in that case, I finished the project, but I definitely decided not to share it with an authentic audience. Well, I guess my son is authentic. He's really authentic, but a larger audience, I should say. Number four, Welcome to the Club. Now, I created this one video for my cohort, and I called it Welcome to the Club, and I was going to do this series of fun, lighthearted videos for them, but then the semester got busy, and I had to cut the project loose, and it just ended up a series of one. It was pretty pathetic. That's number four. Number five, a homemaker space. We were going to convert our garage into a maker space. And if that didn't work, we could, you know, maybe build one from a shed, like put a shed in outside of our house and make a maker space. And it's going to be a maker space for me and for the kids and for my wife. And she's an amazing maker herself. But we realized things like we need storage for Christmas decorations and we need a place to put the treadmill, and we eventually just had to abandon that project. So the home maker space was an abandoned project. There we go. Number six, the Food Truck Manifesto. This was a short, visual, and oriented book that I was going to co-write with my friend Joachim from the Netherlands. Unfortunately, the project fizzled due to timing issues, and we were on different time zones, and it just wasn't working out. We may someday co-write this again, but for now, we just had to abandon that project. Number seven, How to Train a Human. My kids and I started working on this project during spring break, and the premise was that a dog gets adopted and then starts writing a diary about how his humans aren't learning how to behave properly. And so he does things like, he says, you know, I'm frustrated that they keep peeing in the water dish, and he's referring to the toilet. You know, dogs like to drink out of the toilet. Or he gets frustrated that he keeps trying to show them how to use a chew toy, and they keep putting the chew toy on their feet, aka shoes. So it's kind of a fun little thing, but in this case, we ran into a frustration with skills. Like, none of us are good at drawing dogs, and so we had to say, we just gotta abandon this comic, although it would have been fun. Number eight, the New Teacher Academy podcast. That's one of those cases where I abandoned something that became a new iteration, right? So a massive overhaul. I was going to do this podcast with my friend Trevor and the New Teacher Academy, and the timing issues weren't working, and it was hard for us to record with good audio from both of our ends. And so we scrapped it and said, wait, why don't we just do a blog and a Facebook group. So that's what that project ended up looking like. Number nine, launch teams. We had this idea, AJ Giuliani and I, of doing this series of curriculum and stories for kids who were younger, you know, think like K-3, about design and creativity. And they would be kids who are on a colony in Mars. They have to problem solve and use the launch process. And but then we both realized that this was kind of our passion wasn't there. Our interest wasn't there. We wanted to do other projects. So we abandoned this project. We might someday do it, but we decided to scrap it. Number 10, a UX webinar. I love using UX for design, and I actually recorded a full webinar and ultimately decided not to share it with my audience because it was kind of boring. So I was like, I don't want to bore people. Number 11, history mystery projects. I did this fun history mystery about why there are ships buried in San Francisco, and I was going to do a series of like five different history mysteries that history teachers could use to kind of do inquiry-based learning and curiosity-based learning, and kids could solve the mysteries. And I just came to the conclusion that it wasn't good enough. Like, I couldn't find really good mysteries that kids could figure out. So that's where I was. So there you have it, 11 abandoned projects. Meanwhile, I've created courses and blogs and podcasts and free writing prompts that you can download. There's like a set of 100 toolkits, STEM challenges, creative thinking structures, my first draft on an upcoming book. So it's not that I abandon all my projects, but it is that in the process of being a maker, I just end up with lots of projects that are on the shelf. And I used to feel bad about that, but I don't anymore because I now realize that's part of the creative journey. So what does this mean for teachers? Well, I think it means that you will have failed projects. Students might be disinterested or unmotivated, or the project starts taking way too long and you know it's just not working. Maybe it's an alignment issue. It doesn't fit the standards well. Now, sometimes you have to iterate and modify. Sometimes you have to do a big overhaul. But sometimes you have to say, we're going to scrap this project and not do it. Or, I love the idea for this project, but we're going to scrap it now and come back to it later. And all of that is okay. I've used the following reflection questions to help me figure out if it's time to abandon a project. Why do I feel this project isn't working? Is this something I can tweak or revise, or do I need to abandon this? Could we try again later? What are the contextual factors making this a challenge? How could I better address those challenges? Is there a better way to teach these standards? A new project, perhaps? A new approach? How will the students respond to me canceling this project? Will they be relieved or disappointed? And how will I help them navigate those emotions? Note that these reflective questions can help spur my internal monologue, but sometimes it's better to ask these questions to another teacher and talk with it with a trusted colleague, or even bring in the students into that discussion. We used to do a student leadership team at lunch, and every single Friday, any kid was invited to be a part of this democratic discussion where I would ask questions like this: is this project working? Do we need to change it? And they would help provide that meaningful feedback. So then, what does this mean for students? We often see phrases like never give up or winners never quit in schools, and there's an element of truth to that. We don't want kids to just always be quitting. But students need to know the art of quitting. They need to know when it's okay to abandon a project. And they need to know when it's okay to shelve it for later, or iterate and change, or combine it with a new idea. All of that needs to be a part of their repertoire. It needs to be a transferable skill that they have for the rest of their life. And you as a teacher, sometimes you have to kind of push them to finish. You have to say, I know you want to abandon these projects, but I want you to stick with it, because you're choosing to quit right now because you're afraid, and I'm not going to let you do that. Or sometimes you need to speak boldly and say, you haven't managed your time wisely, and so you're way behind, and that's why you want to quit, and I need you to work hard and finish. But sometimes it's okay to say, hey, if that didn't work out, it's a failed experiment. And there's no shame in failed experiments. The project wasn't a huge success, but that's okay. Did you learn from it? Did you master the standards? Because I'm not all about finished products. I'm all about deeper learning. And a lot of students, for them, that really resonates for them. So I have reflective questions for students, like, why do you want to abandon this project? How far along are you on the project? Are you wanting to quit because you're not meeting deadlines, or because the project really is a failed experiment? What would happen if you finished it? Do you want to get rid of it completely, or put it on hold, or do a rehaul, or revise it? What do you need from me so that you can succeed on this project? Time, resources, leave it up to them to come up with, you know, what they think that they need. Now, this can be tricky in groups, and so you want to sometimes navigate this as a whole group. And often these self-reflection questions are ones that you can use in a one-on-one conference with students. But in the end, you want them to learn when it's okay to give up. And I know that sounds really counterintuitive, but we need to allow them to sometimes abandon projects. In the end, there's a few options they have. They can complete their projects on their own time. You could excuse them from another assignment or another project and give them extended time to do a big overhaul. You could allow them to just quit a project as a failed experiment, or you could kind of help push them along the way and say, no, I want you to finish it. Work a little harder and you'll get it done. But ultimately, what you want is for them to know when it's okay to abandon a project. I know the question being asked here is, what happens when students don't finish the projects? And the answer is, sometimes that's okay. The goal is to get them to see when and how to complete, and when and how to abandon the projects that they don't need to finish. Thank you so much for listening to the Creative Classroom Podcast. If you enjoy this, would you do me a favor and leave a review on iTunes or Stitcher? That would mean the world to me. I really do appreciate it. Thank you for listening, and go out and make some.